So we raise up holy hands.
All right, cool. If you got your Bibles, get them out and go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25. Matthew 25. Hey, Marty, how'd you get chocolate? Did you steal our chocolate?
No!
Gosh, just because you're humongous, you can't be stealing people's chocolate.
Don't judge me.
Brittany, I'm sorry. Where does it say that? Hey, so here's the deal. We're going to play some games in a little bit, a couple of them, and there's going to be one that we all participate in that's not so much per se a game, but it's just something really cool that if we pull this off, it's going to be like the most awesome thing ever. Easy for me to say. Typically, I like to watch people play games that make them look kind of dumb more than I like to play games that make me look dumb. Okay? And most of y'all are probably like that, but sometimes we just love to be that person that plays the games and we're all up in it. And honestly, sometimes I think we look at maybe life kind of like a big game. And here's what I mean by that. That we say, all right, here's this life, and I got one life to live. So I want to have as much fun. I want to experience as much as I can. I want to get as much enjoyment and as much pleasure and get as much as I can out of this life. Because I've only got one to live. I mean, it's short. I don't know how long it's going to be. And I want it to be as good and as great for me as it possibly can. And I would say this about that. That's probably not all bad. I think God wants us to enjoy this life. I think God wants you to enjoy this life that He's given us, without doubt. I think He wants us to have fun, and I think Christians should be the most fun people to be around. But here's where I think it gets a little tricky. When we start believing that I want to get as much out of this life regardless of the consequences, when I want to get as much and have as much fun regardless of what it does to other people, it does to the relationships that I have with you or with God, regardless of all that, I'm still going to pursue as much fun and get as much out of life as I can. And here's what I think about that. If all that mattered is like the last day, the last second of your life, and just how you finish the race, then I would say that's a great theory. You just live your life how you want and worry about the consequences later. Now, if we're honest, some of us kind of have that theory now. And we love our lives that way. You maybe wouldn't verbalize it that boldly to God, but that's what you think and that's what you say, and maybe you are that bold. And you say, oh, God's loving, He's gracious, I'll just take care of that later. That's a great theory if that was true. The Bible, however, seems to paint a little different picture. The Bible seems to say that, you know, the life you live today matters. What you did yesterday matters in the grand scheme of things. See, Paul calls this life a race. And here's what's so cool is that he says we need to run this race as if we're running to get a prize. As if every step and every leg of the race counts and it matters. Flip over. We're going to come to Matthew in just a second. Flip over to Romans first. I lied to you. Flip over to Romans 14. Romans 14. And here's what this passage is talking about. We're going to start in verse 11, but I want to tell you what's going on here. Paul's talking about judging people. Okay? You with me, Charlie? Good. Paul's talking about judging people. And Paul is talking about that we don't need to be judging. We need to worry about what we've got to do, and I shouldn't be looking at your actions, and you don't need to be looking at mine, per se. And then he says this in verse 11. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me. Every tongue will confess to God. So then, verse 12, each of us will give an account of himself to God. You will give an account of what you do in this life before an almighty God. And it doesn't just matter what you do the last day. You will give an account of what you did. And ultimately, he's going to say, one thing. What did you do with my son? Charlie, you with me? Good. What did you do with Christ? What did you do with Jesus Christ? And, you know, we say, hey, I'll just take care of that when I'm going to die. Here's the other thing that stinks about that theory. Is you don't know when you're going to die. It could be today. It could be tonight. It could be tomorrow. It could be while we play a game, you could get a pencil to the eye and die lead poisoning on the spot. Probably not. We're not even playing with pencils. But let's just say in theory. It could happen. We have no idea. We don't know the day or the hour. But I know this. When you stand before God, you will give an account of what you did. So what do I have to do then? What do I have to do? When I give this account, what's going to matter? Well, first of all is this. Did you know Christ? Did you personally have a relationship with Christ? And most of you in this room would say yes. Most of you in this room would say, there was a time in my life where I realized my need for a Savior. I realized that I was a sinner. I realized that I couldn't get rid of the sin myself. And that was a problem that only Jesus Christ could handle. And His death on the cross and His shed blood covered that sin for me. And now that I've given my life to Christ, I've committed to follow God in obedience. Most of you would say, maybe not that way, but you'd say, I've done something like that. I get that, and I did that, and it was real. But what are you doing now? See, the Bible seems to paint a picture that it's not just this fireproof prayer that we get, and we get into heaven smelling like sulfur, okay? The Bible seems to paint a picture that when you give your life to Christ, that there is some other stuff involved. Matthew, go back to that passage in Matthew. And by the way, what is this? Okay, no, just literally, what is it? It's a Bible. It's a Bible, right? Okay, do most of y'all have one? Okay, bring it. Okay, all of you need to bring your Bibles. If you can't get home before you come here, take it to school with you. You need to have it because, as I've said before, you have no idea what I'm talking about if you can't open your Bible and look at it. I could be reading out of any book. I could have the Quran up here, and you wouldn't know the difference. So bring your Bible and go through it with me. That was free. Matthew 25. Listen to this. This is what Jesus said matters in this life. Y'all listen. He's talking about the day that Christ returns. He's talking about the rapture, and when Christ comes back, He's going to have this awesome place prepared for us, okay? And the day, as we read in Romans, that we stand before God, and we bow our knee, and we confess who He is before God. This is what He's going to do. Verse 34 of Matthew 25. Then the King, Jesus, will say to those on His right, He split these people up, all of us. We will go into one of two groups. You'll either go to the right side of the room or the left side. And He'll say this, all those on the right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom, heaven, prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous, those on the right side of the room, the one that are getting heaven, will say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger? When did we see you in prison? I don't remember doing this stuff. And he says this, the king, Jesus, will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. So there's this aspect of what we're supposed to do in this life is look out for people. And our faith is supposed to turn into deeds. Our faith is supposed to get fleshed out in the way you treat people. And I will guarantee one of the hardest things for a middle school or high school person to do is look out for the least of these. One of the hardest things for you to do is to suck up your pride and swallow it and say, you know what? I know you're not that cool. Not that you would say this. I know you're not that popular. You don't dress as well as whatever, that crowd or this crowd. But I care about you. And I want to take care of you. Or literally, the people that don't have water or food or a house or clothes, that we take some interest and invested interest in their life. So there's this aspect that, hey, you know, it's great that we come to church and we sing, and that's good. But Jesus said, hey, you know what? There's some more to this life than just that. There's an aspect that you've got to come to realize that this life is not about you. Jesus saved you for you to start doing some stuff. Ephesians puts it this way, that there were good works planned in advance for you to do as a follower of Christ. Are you doing those? Are you doing those? We've talked a couple weeks ago. The question was, does your life look any different? When we talked about loving the unlovable. What are you doing in any way other than not cussing as much as some people or not having as much sex or not going to the parties? What are you doing that says, hey, I'm a Christ follower? I love Jesus. And the people around me know it because. How would you fill in that blank? See, that's what Jesus has called us to. I'm going to finish with this right here, and this is what I really want to talk to you about. Is that video, can we show it? Okay. Let me say this first. Paul, in Acts, after he says this in verse chapter 20, verse 24, I think. He says, here's what my life boils down to. I want y'all to hear this. John, I want y'all to hear this. Here's what Paul's life boiled down to ultimately. He said, I count it all a waste. I count it, doesn't matter for anything, if I don't do what? I finish the task. I complete the race and finish the task the Lord Jesus has given me. What? The task of sharing and telling people about the gospel, of God's grace. That's what he says. He said, my life didn't count for anything if I don't tell somebody about Jesus. I want y'all to watch this video, and then I want to say something real quick, and then we're going to play a little. Here's the deal. Don't talk, because that question is what we all need to be willing to ask ourselves. Are you ready? And hey, here's the thing, guys. Not just do you know Christ, and I know there's some people in this room that don't. Not because God told me. Just because in a room this size, I know there's some people in this room that don't know Christ. And if you were to stand before him right now, he would be the judge. Not Lord and Savior. He would be the judge that says, depart from me. I never knew you. And the penalty for that is hell. Eternal. No more chances. Some of you know him that way, and you're ready to say, praise the Lord, well done, my good and faithful servant. But here's the question also. Are you ready to stand before him and give an account for your life? Are you content with what you've done for our Lord? Are you content to say, I did it? You know, the end, when Paul, at the end of his life, when he's talking to Timothy and giving his ministry over to him, he says, I did it. I finished the race. I completed the task. I ran as hard as I could. And God, I'm ready for the prize that is in store for me. Could you say that? Because just like that video, he could come right now. He could. What would happen to your math class? What would happen to your parents? What would happen to the guy that you met at a store one time that you knew you were supposed to tell Christ about? What would happen? Are they ready? Guys, that's what this is about. That's what all this is about. You got about 5 weeks left of school. Are you going to make a difference? Are any lives going to be changed because of you? Guys, we need to be ready. We need to be ready, and we need to be in the race. We need to be running hard with perseverance. Because let me tell you one thing. You do not want to stand before God with the blood of innocent souls on your hands. Oh, but God, I was scared. God, it was so hard. God, I didn't know what to say. I don't want that. And I'm not pointing. I don't want that. And I've passed up plenty of opportunities. I don't want that. Man, I want my life to count for more than just a cool experience, more than just fun and games. I want it to count for eternity. And guys, can I just tell you, if you are not doing the things the Bible calls us to, like fleshing out your faith and loving people and serving them, if you're not telling people about the good news of Jesus Christ, then it is in vain. I don't care how much you read your Bible or how much you pray, because it obviously ain't working. If we're not putting some faith and some feet to our faith and acting out this belief that we have in Christ Jesus. So let's say this as a team. Hey, I want to do that. Maybe there's somebody in this room that doesn't know Christ and you're not ready to go. Hey, if that's you, talk to us tonight. I'm not going to have prayer now or bow your head. I want you to be bold enough to at least come say, hey, I want to know more about Christ. I want to give my life to Him. And if that's you, hey, don't pass this up. But if you know Christ, do something with your life. Do something with this awesome gift. You know, spring break is this time where we just kind of zone out and we have fun and it's all good. But you got to get back in the game next Monday. You're going back into the war zone for most of y'all. What are you going to do? How's it going to be any different? So let's pray. Father, I just pray that you would give us courage. God, for those of us that want to be in the game and we want our lives to count, we want to be ready to stand before you and say, I did as much as I could. I fought as hard as I could. I tried to persevere. God, would you give them courage? Would you give them a holy boldness to just be a force for your kingdom in their homes, where they go to school, on their teams, in their clubs, when they're out in this community? Would they be ever mindful, God, that there are many around us that aren't ready? Would you help me to be ever mindful, God, that I'm always to be prepared to give an answer for the hope that I have? Always. So often I'm not. So God, I pray you'd forgive us all of that. You'd help us to be different. Would you do this if you want to just you say, that's me. I mean, I want my life to count. Would you just talk to God about it for a minute? Don't just give Him lip service, but be honest with Him. Cry out from the depths of your heart that you're scared to death and you want to be different, or maybe you don't care and you want to care. God, I thank you for hearing us and always being there. God, help us to truly be different. Not because of anything that I've said or that I am, God, but because your word is powerful. And I pray you would convict us in such a way that we would not be able to rest until we just truly submit our lives to you wholly. So God, we love you. We do. And we thank you for your love for us. As we just keep your head bowed, we're going to sing that song again, Enough. And that's kind of been our theme song for this series, War on Culture, and we're going to continue to sing it. But the same is true with this topic, that God has got to be enough. If you are going to take the chance and put yourself out on a limb to share your faith with somebody, God has got to be enough for you. If you're going to live this life that God has called you to, it may mean rejection. It may mean giving up some stuff you think you have to have. And God has got to be enough. So if you need to just continue to just pray and talk to God, that's fine. If you want to sing, that's cool. If you want to get on your face before Him, that's cool. If you need to make this an altar up here, there's something powerful sometimes about movement and coming to a place where you commit something to God. But don't be a distraction to the person next to you, because God may be really doing something cool in their life. And you may not get that, and that's okay. But don't distract what God would want to do in their life.